It doesn't matter where that little moron thinks those profits would be better deployed. He didn't make them. And from the sounds of listening to him talk, he's not capable of making any profits, let alone his own breakfast, right?
I can't speak more highly about any individual. He's an incredible guy. He's a brilliant guy. He's a wonderful person. But he has helped the country. I also want him to make sure that he's going to be in great shape. And I know he is. I mean, he's going to do great.
Zach Abraham, my friend. Of course, we taped Doge Watch last week. And then right afterwards, Elon Musk's like, I'm stepping away from Doge a little bit. I'm like, okay, couldn't
Perfect
you have done
timing.
That? Couldn't you have announced that before we taped Doge Watch for the week? But we were sort of anticipating it. So Elon has his, you know, shareholder meeting with Tesla, and he came on and he said that not stepping away entirely, but he's going to reduce some of the time. Here's a clip from that meeting.
Starting probably in next month, my time allocation to Doge will drop significantly.
What's interesting is I think Elon, to me, was always a figurehead of Doge. I mean, there's people who are doing the work at Doge, and he was sort of the figurehead. Mm-hmm. So do you think the work of Doge, or maybe people's interest in the work of Doge or criticism of the work of Doge, changes significantly if he's not the figurehead anymore?
You know what? It very much could. I mean, obviously, he's become quite the lightning rod. And it might be one of the things that's best for Doge, right? Like, there aren't many more high-profile people than Elon Musk. One of the reasons I think that there is such vehement pushback against him is because he was a darling on the left. Now, I don't think he ever actively embraced that, from my memory, but he was. He was a hero of the left, right? And so it's kind of like a spurned lover. Right. Like they hate him. And I think it's entirely possible that I would love to see the work of Doge go on throughout the entire 4-year presidency. The thing that I think that everybody should sit back and appreciate, even if you don't agree with what he's doing, you have to marvel at the fact that he's doing something that we have seen people in his position so unwilling to do for so long, meaning walking into a scenario knowing he's going to take a substantial hit to his image, to his net worth, and having almost a devil may care attitude about it, right? Like just whatever, what comes, you know, whatever comes, that you know, that's fine. And it's very admirable. It's very admirable. We live in this period of time where everybody is always talking their own book. I know people are going to accuse, well, that's the only reason Musk is doing it. Guy, he was at $350 billion net worth going into this. If it was all about politics and if it was all about business, he'd still be in league with the left.
Yeah.
Like it's better for his business, right? So, you know, it's not like he was unaware that the vast majority of registered car owners that bought Teslas were liberal,
right?
He knows what he's doing. And there's a conviction there that he's got that you just don't see very often these days. There aren't people willing to just nuke part of their net worth and, you know, go through the hardships that he's had to go through. It's admirable. And I was wrong about the guy. I thought he was much more of a carnival barker. It turns out it was mainly him being overly optimistic.
Yeah.
But yeah, regardless, I mean, you know, I understand if you don't like him, if you're on the left, but I think all of us, look, the country would be far better off if people in his position were willing to make the same choices, similar choices, and make the same sacrifices he's been willing to make. And the fact that he can't get recognized for that, I think is sad. I cannot recall somebody in his position doing something more selfless for the sake of the good of the country. I don't recall that.
Yeah, and you make a good point. You know, his crime is sort of being overly optimistic. And he's a dreamer, right? I mean, he wants to go to Mars. He wants all these things. And I think he brought that into Doge as well. We talked last week. The media was critical that he hasn't cut as much as he said he was going to cut. I mean, he goes in with this optimism for what they can do for the country, and he gets slapped down for it. It makes no sense. But yeah, I mean, to your point earlier, you know, maybe this does allow Doge to continue its work a little more under the radar. And maybe ultimately that's what's best for the country. Although Doge is still always going to have this tie to Elon Musk and to Donald Trump. And, you know, anything tied to either of them, the media is going to just be outraged over. So I guess we'll see in May. So when he starts to sort of walk away a little bit and do less Doge related, if the media moves on to other things. I mean, they'll find something else to be angry about. But I also want to talk about if the goal is, which Donald Trump seems to indicate, and, you know, Elon Musk announcing this on his Tesla shareholder meeting seems to indicate that they thought and think some of the woes of Tesla are tied to his work with Doge and his work with President Donald Trump. It seems like his work with Trump isn't going away and his tie to Trump isn't going away. So is that really going to fix what's happening at Tesla? We'll discuss that coming up in our Doge Miss of the Week. But first, I had to include this. Even though this isn't a Doge effort, it's a cost-saving effort. But it makes so sense. So the it makes so much sense. So the Department of Agriculture came out and announced that they will now require, gird your loins, Zach, because this is super controversial. They are now going to require proof of citizenship for SNAP benefits.
Unbelievable.
I mean, well, racist, I mean, I think really.
Well, it is. It is. It's racist and it's human phobic is what I like to call it. Yeah, it's human phobic.
Human phobic.
And yeah, and it's a, I mean, this is a cultural crime. Is what this is.
I'm shocked this wasn't required already. Am I naive to believe that they were already checking citizenship to get SNAP benefits? Yes, you can say yes.
The whole thing is ludicrous. No, I look, I would have been right there with you, right? Like I would have just assumed, wait a second, you're not checking their ID? You're not checking to make sure that they're actually a citizen? Like what are we doing? And for the people that push back against this, look, when you take a look at everything, it is really, really hard to make a cogent, logical argument that the left is not trying to do the constituent version of like stacking the court, right?
Yeah.
It's really hard to make the argument when you look at the preponderance of evidence and not evidence. Just listen to what they say, right? Help me come up with another explanation other than they, at all costs of our borders and sovereignty, they want to flood the country with dependents that vote for them.
Yep.
And if there was another logical reason, I'd love to know. I would love to not think that 50% of our country supports the complete erosion of our national sovereignty, our borders, so they can win more elections. It's just really hard not to make that argument. And if you're just looking at what's in front of you and you don't come to that conclusion, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what's wrong with you.
And the sanctuary states are the blue states, right? And the sanctuary states are the ones just completely ruled by Democrats. And as Tom Homan pointed out the other day, the census doesn't really make a difference to the census whether you're here illegally or not. And it's the census that dictates the division of seats to the United States House of Representatives. And so you get these sanctuary states where you got a free-for-all. I mean, in our state, they just passed help for illegal aliens, you know, when it comes to assistance with their legal stuff and other benefits. And so they're going to make it real cozy here for an illegal to come into the country and then want to be here. And then your census balloons and then you get more seats in Congress. So yeah. I agree with him. That has to be what it is. And because this is common sense. The Secretary of Agriculture said President Trump has made it clear that American taxpayers will no longer subsidize illegal aliens. We are stewards of taxpayer dollars, and it is our duty to ensure states confirm the identity and verify the immigration status of SNAP applicants. USDA's nutrition programs are intended to support the most vulnerable Americans. To allow those who broke our laws by entering the United States illegally to receive these benefits is outrageous. And it's outrageous that they weren't doing this all along. And what's the reason? You want to make people feel secure to be here illegally, so they become what, Democratic voters, and help you get a larger allotment of seats in Congress. That is the only, to your point, the only explanation that really, really makes sense.
Yeah, and the whole thing is just so crazy on the face of it, right? There is no other explanation. The other thing that I'm really looking forward to And look, I this probably won't come without some pain to me personally, but a step needs to be taken. If when you understand, and I know you do, I'm preaching to the choir, but when you understand the formation, right, the structure of the U.S. government, and you understand what the executive branch's job is to do, right, which is basically the executive branch, their job is to enforce the law, right? I mean, that's meaning to make sure that laws are being, you know, adhered to and to enforce existing law, right? When your platform, your political platform, after you've sworn allegiance to uphold the Constitution, your political platform is to completely flout and do the opposite of what federal law is, there has to be a lever to pull. They need to shut off federal funding to states that want to do this, that are in direct violation of our national laws. They should have their federal funding cut off.
Yeah.
100%. And I am frustrated, not frustrated. I don't know the whole apparatus in the process. I wish that was happening faster.
Yeah.
You can't do this. That's a form of sedition, right? And those people need to be held to account. And the first thing you do, what do politicians all know? They all know money. So shut them down.
And I've expressed frustration over this, like on my show multiple times, is, look, I love the executive orders. You say, hey, we're going to ban, they just put one out today on sanctuary states, holding sanctuary states accountable through, taking federal funding. But I mean, months ago, they did the one on, oh, you can't let boys compete against girls or else there's consequences. But there haven't been any consequences yet.
Right.
So it's one thing to sign the executive order and to say, this isn't okay, we're going to do something, but it has to have teeth. And when does it have teeth? I mean, he had the executive order on DEI. Our governor in Washington state turned around last week and announced a statewide government DEI conference. So they just don't even care. They don't think there's going to be consequences for it. So there have to be some sort of consequences for states like ours. And maybe it goes beyond the loss of federal funding. I mean, the White House press secretary came out this week and said they're thinking about prosecuting state officials who allow boys to compete against girls. I might be okay with that.
I certainly would be okay with it regarding sanctuary cities.
Yes.
Because that is an out and out violation of national law. And anybody, including the governor of this state, that signs off on a law that says the opposite should be looking at prosecution. They should be looking at jail time, quite honestly, right? That is a violation of federal law. It is a felony. And like, I don't understand why we're playing softball with these people. It's ludicrous.
It's aiding and abetting. It's aiding and abetting.
It's 100%, 100%. And just it's the dissolution of national sovereignty too. All for political expediency. It's the definition of sedition. It really is. And they should be brought up on treason or sedition charges. I'm not a lawyer. Maybe that's not the right, the right law to throw at them or whatever. But this is lawless.
Yeah.
It's completely lawless. He's not making up rules. He's enforcing existing rules that were passed by Congress, that were deemed fair and proper by the Supreme Court. This is nuts. It's just a direct violation of federal law. And I want to see those people. Like, if you and I went out and broke any federal laws like this, we'd be looking at prosecution. And when you're in public office, you're held to a higher account than a normal citizen. And these people are just flat. It's crazy. It's just lawless and it's crazy.
And if you've got, which we've had in our state, an illegal alien who's already been deported from the country, who's a convicted rapist is one example, or a child predator, multiple arrests of child predators are already previously deported that ICE had to pick up again with no help from the state. And I know we're getting kind of far afield of DOGE, but so let's say that person comes back into our state because it's a sanctuary state. One of them came back and got a driver's license just like that. No big deal. And if they go out and prey on another child, if they go out and distribute more child pornography, should the state not be accountable for that?
I mean, if I look at the rules this state passes, I would again be led to believe that, no, the state doesn't care if that happens. I mean, every decision I see this state makes make compromises the safety of children, one after another, after another, after another. And so for all you people out there thinking that you're on the right side of history, just be aware, all of this comes at the cost of your kids.
Yeah.
Okay. Like all of it. And, you know, I mean, them signing the law and you know, I don't think enough's been made about this, but where is the Supreme Court case that calls into, you know, I want to see the law that we passed in this state that completely destroys parental rights.
Yeah.
Gives them the right to take your child, not tell you where they are, get them. How is that constitutional? And where is the lawsuit that's going to see that case go to the Supreme Court? And I just am blown away. I understand the ignorant voters that buy the normal tropes, orange man bad, da da da. But for informed voters, how you can vote for these, I understand if you don't like Trump, you can't vote for him.
Yeah.
Okay, I get that. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I get it. Okay. But to vote for that, it's asinine. It's just,
that's how you get an environment where we're not checking the legal status of SNAP benefit recipients. I mean, that's how you get an environment like that. All right, let's get to our Doge Miss of the Week. Okay, so Musk is going to stop spending so much time on Doge, the idea being he needs to refocus on Tesla to make shareholders happy or whatever it is. But there's this article from Reuters. So let's take it for what it's worth. It's Reuters based on sources. So I don't know if it's true, but I'll just read it from it for you. As billionaire Elon Musk scales back work for the U.S. President Donald Trump, he's laying the groundwork for a major role as a Republican political mega donor in next year's midterm elections, according to four people with direct knowledge of the matter. After announcing last week that his cost-cutting role at the White House was mainly done, Musk views his money and his social media platform X as potentially more powerful political tools than his time inside the government when he became the face of Trump's shakeup of the federal bureaucracy, one person said. So it sounds like what Reuters is reporting based on, you know, people with knowledge of the situation is that Musk in the midterms is really going to become this Republican mega donor and out pushing for, you know, to maintain control for Republicans. So let's just assume that the Reuters reporting is true. If the idea of Musk going back to focus on Tesla is because he's concerned about some of the political consequences of his work in the White House, wouldn't becoming a Republican mega donor and working to keep control of Congress for Republicans in the midterms do the same thing?
I get the feeling this is a smokescreen. So I get the feeling that this isn't it at all. And the more I've thought about it, the more I think that this is all about taking the limelight and the heat off of Doge so they can continue the work behind the scenes.
Hmm.
So
it's not about helping Tesla. It's about not hindering Doge.
No, because Tesla isn't ailing from any of this. Right. Tesla would be doing this bad regardless. OK, their second largest market is China. All right. Very clear what's going on there. His sales in China are going down. OK. And for multiple reasons, A, is his involvement in the U.S. government and Doge and everything like that. Is that hurting business in China? Unquestionably. The thing hurting business the most in China for him is the same thing that's hurting in Europe. It's these Chinese EVs that are cheaper and have better range, and they have now surpassed Tesla on battery technology. So all of this, I don't think Tesla's stock's gotten hit, and that's, Tesla's struggling. They're an automobile manufacturer still trading at 130 times earnings, which is ludicrous. They are so overpriced, it's not funny. So I don't think Tesla has been hurt. I think that, I mean, why did, and it's not like people just decided, we hate Tesla and we're going to short the stock. Tesla's stock's down, you know, like, and I've said this before, we shorted the stock. Tesla's stock's down because their earnings have been abysmal, right? They're going backwards. When you are trading at 130 times earnings, to give you an idea, the whole market's at 24, okay? When you're trading at 130 times earnings, let's start with some basic metrics. To justify that valuation, you should be growing faster than the average stock in the market. Tesla's going backwards, okay? You should be growing earnings faster than the normal stock. Tesla's going backwards, okay? So you've got a crazy high growth multiple on a company that is up against it. And it's not just a threat, it is hurting them right now, right? You're looking at negative revenue over the last, 16 months, right? So, or something like that over the last 12 months. But yeah, it's I don't buy this. And you make a really good point. Whatever, you know, whatever benefit he was going to get from the larger public or the broader public from stepping down from Doge, he's going to be right back in that situation during the next election.
Yeah, he's not like all of a sudden not supporting Trump.
Right. So I kind of feel like there's a, and I'm sure there's multiple purposes and multiple reasons here, but I honestly feel like a part of this is a pivot to take the focus off Doge, which probably should have been maybe the trajectory they pursued from the very beginning.
Mm, yeah. So it is right? your contention, Zach, just to be clear, that you do not think at all Tesla's woes are connected to Elon's political endeavors.
No, not in a meaningful way. Meaning, has it helped? No. On the margins, I'm sure it's hurt business a little bit. But what I'm saying is, now, maybe not quite as much, but if Musk was not involved in the Trump administration, I think Tesla's stock and the company would be in a very similar position.
Yeah.
This is all about Chinese competitors and, you know, their new battery technology. They've not now got a battery where they can get 300 miles of range out of a 5-minute charge. Okay. That's what's killing Tesla.
Yeah.
And they can sell that car to you for about a third less. So that's what's killing Tesla.
Yeah. And still though, if Elon is the brains behind Tesla, he's got a lot of smart people working for him, but he's the guy. Yep. And so if he was spending too much time at the White House and on Doge, you know, maybe just his attention not being split will be better. And he can, I don't know. I mean, I think there's some of these things. It's not going to hurt, right?
Yeah. It's not. No.
Okay, in other Doge adjacent news, speaking of Elon Musk being just vilified for his really controversial work of cutting government spending, so Washington State Democrats have passed a Tesla tax. The state that incentivized EVs, oh my God, we want more EVs on the roads, is now literally punishing Tesla for helping them with their EV transition too much. What it does is it taxes Tesla for its EV credits it has built up with the state. So it says, oh, you've got all these credits just sitting there that you can sell to other car manufacturers who might need them. But as long as they sit there, we're gonna tax you on them. And then we're also gonna tax you on them when you go to sell them. And the bill itself does not say Tesla in it, but the parameters, Tesla's the only one who will qualify for the tax, right?
Yeah.
So I need to get your reaction to this. So Democratic State Representative Joe Fitzgibbon was trying to justify this blatant attack on Tesla for, God forbid, helping with the environment. Here's how he tried to justify it.
You know, I think it is really great that we have so many innovative businesses in this state and in this country that are working on our transition to cleaner energy, cleaner transportation, cleaner air, a safe climate. There are even businesses that make extraordinary profits on that transition. The point of this bill is to say that in some cases, those extraordinary profits might go to a greater public purpose by investing in making those vehicles more available to Washingtonians than going 100% to profits of those manufacturers. The bill does not eliminate all the profits. It just says that a share of those profits would be better served investing in incentives and in infrastructure for Washington EV drivers than to exclusively pad the bottom lines of companies that are doing very well in today's economy. I ask you to join me in voting yes.
Is that not just socialism? Your profits would be put to a better purpose if we take them from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so here's nuts. The problem. They're not yours to take.
Exactly. Right?
They're not yours to take. And that once again, I'm not a legal expert, but I would like to see Trump attacking this kind of stuff or his administration. And look, I want to see him attack it for non-political reasons. Okay? I want to see him attack it because this is a danger to any and everybody. One thing that frustrates me the most about this modern whacked out liberal that you know fills our state is that they don't have, they're like children, right? They don't even stop to think about you are creating precedent that will get weaponized and used against you too, you little moron. And meanwhile, we are all worse off. Okay. And they lack the ability. It's like they have no emotional control. I'm angry, so I want a pound of flesh. Well, hold on a second, right? What you're doing is illegal, right? This is, you don't get to after the fact pass a tax that claws back or something that company's already earned, right? You don't get to do that, right? So the thing that should scare everybody, and it doesn't matter if you agree with the policy or not, this is not legal, right? They're doing things on a regular basis that are not legal. It doesn't matter where that little moron thinks those profits would be better deployed. He didn't make them. And from the sounds of listening to him talk, he's not capable of making any profits, let alone his own breakfast, right? So I'm so tired of the mindless morons that compromise all of our safety from government, right? What was the purpose of the Constitution? It was to insulate us from the tyranny that government represents or can represent, right? And these people are just ripping it down because they're mad.
Literally, they're mad at him.
They're mad.
Orange man bad. But also, this flies in the face of everything they claim to stand for, and they're taxing him for doing something they asked him to do. I mean, they did this on Earth Week. They passed this on Earth Day. Yeah. So we're supposed to be the all environment and all this and EVs and, hey, companies, make more EVs. We want that. And we'll give you these credits and all this. It's like, oh, you did it. You did too many. And now we're going to tax you for it.
Also calls into the veracity of the climate panic as well, right?
Correct.
If this stuff is all, if we go from this being the ultimate, issue of our time, right? Planetary survival, the survival of the human. Oh, well, that's unless Trump supports or unless Musk supports Trump, then that's what takes priority. And I'm looking around going, okay, so I'm sorry, but that leads me to believe that your conviction was a bit overstated, right? Like this is a little less. It's got to be. You're telling me if we don't do this, we all boil. And now you're going to do something that pushes back the other way just because you're mad at somebody. I mean, the lady doth protest too much, right? Like,
like the Tesla vandalisms. You don't think some of those vandalisms are being perpetrated by people who've been holding climate protests? So give me a break. It's like, oh, yeah, like you said, we're going to boil alive. But you're telling me Elon's a worse threat. You know, Tesla's a worse threat than being boiled alive on planet Earth. So give me a break.
Right.
Crazy.
Right.
All right. What are you talking about on the Know Your Risk podcast this week?
Man, well, we're talking a lot about these tariffs. There's a thing in the markets where, and I'd say largely it's true, but there's an old saying where they don't ring a bell at the top. Right. Meaning nobody's there to tell you this is about as close to one as I've seen, because the markets are sitting back in this posture right now. It's really bizarre. I've only seen markets do this one other time, and that was January going into COVID. Hmm. So if you look back on that time, we're reading reports coming out of China where 750 million people effectively were on house arrest. Well, China is the manufacturing floor for the entire global economy. So you're going, if 750 million people are on house arrest in all the big cities in China, who's working in the factories? Nobody. Okay, so we're going to have a serious economic disruption here. We don't know how bad it's going to be, but this is insane. Meanwhile, you went back and looked at January. While all that was happening, the stock market was up 13% from January 1 to January 31st. And we kept taking that opportunity to buy more volatility, buy more shorts, betting against the market. So market over the next 5 weeks, COVID hits. Market drops 36.5%. We were down like six or seven because of that. This feels very similar, meaning we came into this year, thought U.S. assets were not very attractive because of valuation. So we're actually having a nice year. I think we're up 6.5% on the year or something like that. But the way it's rolling out is just mind blowing. Cause like I said, the market, people are like, oh, it's been a really bad market. The S&P 500 is down 5% on the year. Okay. So if this is a really bad market, investing isn't your game.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause there's nothing bad about this market. You got a market still trading at 27, 28 times earnings. Like long-term average is 16. So there's nothing quote unquote horrible about this market, right? People are just gotten spoiled with markets going up too much. But the really odd part, Brandy, is that the market is kind of just sitting there. If you were just looking at the price action in the market, I would think that the market is waiting to see what happens, right? Like, what are we going to get to? And we're looking at them going, you've got tariffs right now, guys. Like, what is being tariffed right now? You are taking significant hits to this quarter's earnings for companies. Book it. It's happening right now. The only way I think you go up from here is if Trump comes out and says tariffs are off. Trade war is over. We're going to stick with 10% with the whole world. Okay, that isn't going to happen anytime soon. It can't, right? Go look at what he said. Go look at the rhetoric. Okay, go look at what China's posture. They're coming right back at us. I mean, you go look at I saw a video they released today, kind of making a joke out of our subway system versus theirs, and making a joke that we're considered the developed country and they're developing country. A country that's putting that out in this period of time right now, they're not about to back down.
Nope.
Right? That is not a back down posture. So it's just wild. And I think markets have been too good for too long and people have forgotten to look underneath the hood. The market's on cruise control and I think it's about ready to run into a wall.
Ah, that's why you need to manage your risk. I know you'll be doing tariff talk on Know Your Risk on the Know Your Risk podcast, knowyourriskradio.com. Still bullish on Doge with or without Elon?
Absolutely. As long as they keep it going. And just, you know, and I think you and I both know too, the idea that this has been 2.5 months digging into probably the most complex budget in human history. You know, again, if I'm Trump, if I'm in his cabinet, I'm going to try to lower the profile of it, keep it quieter. And I want that thing running for as long as I'm in office.
Yep. Get the work done. That's the important thing. All right, Zach Abraham, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks as always.